Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Well, I thought I'd take today's show and give a little bit of a summary of what I was doing in March of 2019. And I wanted to thank all of you who were praying for my trip to Uganda, Africa. And I thought maybe you'd like to hear of some of the reasons why I went there and what I was doing while I was there. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about that, because Africa is certainly an area that does tend to have what we would call a Mormon problem. If you were to go to the MormonNewsroom.org website, there was an article on there that talked about this. It mentions how Africa is one of the fastest growing areas of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It went on to say the church's presence in Africa began with missionaries in South Africa in the early 1850s. And of course, Eric, in South Africa, you have a predominant white population down there. So we could see why during this time period in Mormon history, where South Africa would probably be more conducive to the Mormons in that continent than anywhere else in the continent of Africa. But the article goes on to say this: it was not until the late 1970s that membership noticeably increased across the continent of Africa. Now, why would that matter? Well, of course, folks, in the late 1970s, what happened? In 1978, the Mormon Church changed a very important doctrine in its theology, and I use that word on purpose because that's what the First Presidency called it. They changed the doctrine, whereas they would now allow those of African heritage, those who were black, to now be able to have the priesthood. Up until 1978, if you had, as Mark Peterson said, who was a Mormon apostle, one drop of Negro blood, you were barred from holding this priesthood. Well, the church, under pressure, had to make a course correction. So in June of 1978, they changed this, and now they will allow all worthy male members, regardless of their race, to hold this priesthood. That's why the membership started rising in areas of Africa that is predominantly black. Now, it goes on to say that there are a total of 102 stakes and districts, 18 missions, and nearly 320,000 members across the continent, and that the church presently owns or leases 725 meeting houses in 34 African countries. Now, I might mention, this article is a little dated. This isn't a brand new article, so a lot of those numbers have probably changed since then. But I noticed that when I was in Uganda, I saw quite a few Mormon chapels where we were driving. We weren't looking for them. They just happened to be there. There were quite a few of them. And in an article titled Mormons in Africa, Ugandan Latter-day Saints Moving the Church Forward, it says, while the organization of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Uganda is young, organized in the early 1990s, nearly 7,000 people in this East African nation have already joined the global faith. Now, you might say 7,000 people doesn't sound like a whole lot, but as it says, this is just since the 1990s. And again, I want to insert here that this statement is not really brand new either. It's also a little bit dated, and I'm sure those numbers have changed since then.
Bill, this isn't your first time to Africa, and since you went the last time, it certainly has grown. We have more temples that are going to be coming, and the church has put a lot of resources here. But what is the draw for the average African as to why they would want to join a church that certainly has racist past, as you mentioned before? It was all the way until 1978. What would you say is the draw?
I would think that a lot of the African people are not aware of Mormonism's history when it comes to the priesthood and the banning of those of African heritage. I think that would probably be one of the problems. I don't really have a specific answer to that question, but I would think certainly the presence that the Mormon Church has in Africa is like it is in other poorer countries in the world. They have a commanding presence. You go into these areas that are normally very poor, and here is this big, huge, American-looking chapel. And I think that appeals to a lot of the Africans, because one of the problems that we found when we were over there, and I traveled with my pastor, Dr. Brian Hurlbut, as well as another pastor from my church, Rob Aulis. We went there, the three of us, to speak on three different subjects in these conferences. The prosperity gospel, and I don't even like using those two words together, but that's how it's known. It's more prosperity theology. It's not a gospel at all, because I don't think it's good news, but it's very prevalent in Africa. Just about everywhere you see its influences, even within Christian churches that you wouldn't think it would be there, it's there. It's a plague, and a lot of pastors over there know it is, but still the temptation among many is certainly there. And what's amazing, though, Eric, is it doesn't work. The only ones who are prospering are the leaders. The people aren't. The people certainly aren't gaining anything from this vain notion that somehow God wants you rich. But still, that desire is there, unfortunately, as sadly it is here in the United States. And that's why the prosperity message is substantial, even in America. But I think that may have something to do with it. It could also be the fact that, let's be honest, the Mormon Church shows itself some amount of stability. A lot of the Christian churches over in Africa, if you get beyond, let's say, a lot of these well-established churches that were there when it was under British, because this was a British colony at one time, there's remnants of that still there. But a lot of the other churches are like independent churches that spring up just because of the zeal of an individual who may feel called, quote unquote, to start his own church. He may be totally unprepared for this. He may have no pastoral skills whatsoever, and maybe even have very little theological skills, but they start a church. And I'm sure many of them do it with very good motives in their heart. But I'm sure there's probably a lot of others out there that look at this as a means for getting rich. And unfortunately, the only way you're going to do that is by fleecing your flock. But the Mormon Church comes across as being very stable, very wealthy, and I'm sure this appeals to a lot of Africans. I know when I was in the Philippines back in the 1980s, I was told by Christian missionaries there that that's what appealed to a lot of Filipinos, was the wealth and stability of the church in that country.
And if a person joins a church in the Philippines or in Africa, maybe doesn't have a whole lot of resources, the Mormon Church has been great at taking care of its own. They have a bishop's storehouse. They're going to do what they can, if you're committed to their movement, to be able to take care of you. And I would bet that a lot of families are thinking, well, this is going to help feed my children. If I'm going to be part of this organization, they're going to help me. And they've got money coming from the United States to do so. And so I would imagine that would be a big draw.
And I'm sure that that is probably happening a lot less than maybe some might think. I don't think the Mormon Church goes out of its way to feed a lot of its members on a regular basis. But I did hear of at least one case in particular where this person was telling me about a relative who had joined the Mormon Church, and the church was, in fact, giving this family a lot of resources, maybe to keep that person's influence working among the population there where this individual was located. And I don't know where exactly that was, but that could be too. I think that would be a false understanding of what the church is going to provide for them, because that's not normally how the church operates. They don't normally keep their people by feeding them and paying all their bills. Maybe to some who, as I say, have some influence, but not everybody. But still, they do have a pretty prominent face in the continent of Africa. And I don't think they're going away, folks. This is why I felt it was important to go there. Now, I was asked to go there from Rogers Atwabimbari, who works with the African Center for Apologetics Research. And ACFAR, as it's known, is affiliated with the Centers for Apologetics Research, which is run by our good friend Paul Carden out of Southern California. And Paul has a lot of national missionaries that are doing incredible work in countries like Russia and Brazil and in Africa too. And they are combating a lot of the false doctrines that are permeating these areas. So it's important that we give our Christian brothers and sisters a helping hand in order to understand better what's going on around them. And so I was asked, of course, to go speak on the subject of Mormonism because, as I've said, Mormonism has an influence in this country. And as that article that I just read says, it started really blossoming in the late 1970s after blacks were allowed to hold the priesthood, which would make perfect sense. But now that barrier has been dropped, and unfortunately it has made a target of many of our Christian brothers and sisters over in this continent, and they need to hear what Mormonism is really teaching. And that's what I was doing. I was doing over there what I do here. I had a presentation that was geared more as an introduction to this subject because you have to understand a lot of these people have a very remedial understanding of Mormonism. Sadly, many of them had a very remedial understanding of Christianity, so I was trying to educate them about those things as well as Mormonism also.
I'm guessing you had to be translated.
I didn't in all cases because, as I said, Uganda was a British colony, so English is spoken by many. However, I was speaking in some circumstances where English was not known by a lot of them. These were nationals who were going into outer areas, and they are speaking their local dialect. So in cases like that, and there were a couple of them, I believe, where I did in fact need a translator, but it was great because Rogers has a woman named Sarah working with him. And she was our translator. She was great because it's important when you have a translator that you have a translator that understands a lot of the Mormon terminology. Many of the Africans are not familiar with this terminology. And if they're not, they can easily gloss over what you just said because they don't know of a word that equates with what you just said. But Sarah, understanding Mormonism, was very good at translating what I had to say and what Brian had to say as well as what Rob had to say.
So it's important for you to go to a place like this because they don't have the access to the information that perhaps we have in the United States. Like, I'm guessing not every home is going to have internet access. Do they have internet cafes?
I did see an internet cafe. I did see one. I'm sure that there were many more there that I did not see. But folks, I just want to thank those of you who were praying for me on this trip. And I especially want to thank all you who prayed and supported this work because this is not part of our budget. But I'll tell you, there is such a need over there that I am sincerely praying about when to go back because the church did announce in 2017 that they were going to be building a temple in Nairobi, Kenya. Now, that has not begun yet. It has only been announced. We both know, Eric, that when the Mormons build a temple in an area, it brings a lot of attention to the Mormon church. And hopefully we can use that attention to our advantage and use it to educate a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters in this continent. So again, I just want to thank all of you who prayed and supported this trip because it was a very worthwhile investment.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.